This last paragraph here is really relevant to us this week, isn't it, with our virtue of honesty. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come toward the light, so that his works might not be exposed. But whoever lives the truth comes to the light, so that his works may be clearly seen as done in God. So that's part of the virtue of honesty, isn't it? To live in the truth, to bring our works to the light. And if we do something wrong, we want to correct it. We want to say that we did something wrong, and we want to fix it. And so I want to do an example of that this morning, because on Monday, when I was last time I had Mass with you, I said something that was wrong. I made a mistake. And somebody came up after Mass and pointed it out to me and corrected me. And that's a good thing. Even if it stings sometimes, it's a good thing to be corrected. I had a soccer coach, I'll never forget, in high school, who told me, you should get concerned when people stop correcting you. If people stop correcting you, that's the time to get concerned. That's the time that people have given up, saying there's no way to correct him. So to be corrected is a good thing, even if it stings. I know it stings sometimes. But I said, when we were talking about the Regina Caeli, the prayer, the Queen of Heaven, I said, for he whom you did not merit to bear, and I explained that a little bit. So talking about Mary, how Mary didn't merit to bear Jesus, didn't merit the incarnation. But in truth, the prayer is for he whom you did merit to bear. So how does that work? So for you, for the kids, that's mainly what I wanted to say. I just wanted to correct that. But I'm going to go on and explain a little bit, maybe to the larger congregation, the interplay of these things, meriting and not merit. What does it mean to merit? And you just be a quick summary, but it may be a little bit higher than what the students can grasp. Maybe not. Maybe especially the older students, you can try to follow it. And we can talk more about this afternoon as we have the language and culture class. But the catechism has this wonderful section on justification, on grace, on merit, on Christian holiness. It's these four sections together: justification, grace, merit, and Christian holiness. And this is, of course, no easy topic. This is at the core of the Protestant Reformation. So in a large extent, Christendom has been divided due to this very difficult issue. And the Catechism, when talking about justification, says several things. For example, because of the resurrection of Jesus, death no longer has dominion over him. And because we've been baptized, death also has no dominion over us. So you also must consider yourselves as dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. And then the Catechism talks about participating, being partakers of the divine life. By the participation of the Spirit, we become communicants in the divine nature. For this reason, those in whom the Spirit dwells are divinized. It goes on to say more things about justification. For example, has a brief mention to merit here, where it says, justification has been merited for us by the passion of Christ, who offered himself on the cross as a living victim. So Jesus is the one who merited our salvation on the cross as a living victim. Justification is the most excellent work of God's love made manifest in Christ Jesus and granted by the Holy Spirit. In the opinion of St. Augustine, that justification of the wicked is a greater work than the creation of heaven and earth. God creating everything, all the heavens and earth, is not as great of a work as the justification of the wicked. God bringing a sinner to repentance, to conversion, and to sanctification. Because the creation will pass away, but the wicked who has been converted will not, will live forever. And also a greater work even than the creation of the angels. And then also this point about cooperation. This is really key for our Catholic understanding. This is where the Protestants kind of went off the rails. Justification establishes cooperation between God's grace and man's freedom. So yes, God has merited it for us, but now we have the freedom to respond to it, to assent to it. And you can start to see here where Mary is going to come in. Her freedom to say yes. Okay, and then a section on grace. Our justification comes from the grace of God. Grace is favor, the free and undeserved help that God gives us to respond to his call to become children of God. See, the call is to become children of God, adoptive sons and daughters, partakers of the divine nature and of eternal life. So grace is a favor. That's why Mary is our favored lady, full of grace. These are the same. These are synonymous. And then it goes on to say more things about grace. So I'm almost 5 minutes in. I'll finish this at about the 30-minute mark. See if you're listening. Okay, and then merit. So now we get to merit. So You are glorified in the assembly of your holy ones, for in crowning their merits, you're crowning your own gifts. This is from the first preface of the holy ones. And this is a reference to, again, St. Augustine's work. St. Augustine is by far the most quoted in the Catechism, and the one who St. Thomas Aquinas quoted the most often. But anyways, I digress. For crowning in their merits, you are crowning your own gifts. So God, by crowning us, is crowning his own gifts. With regard to God, there is no strict right to any merit on the part of man. No strict right to any merit. We can't do anything on our own. We can't merit anything on our own. Between God and us, there is an immeasurable inequality, for we have received everything from him, our Creator. The merit of man, you know, to think about this, we received everything from our Creator. It's like a son of a dad, a son who does good things and he goes out and cuts the lawn or he goes out and helps the neighbor. That's great, you know, the son is doing it, but he can only do that because the dad has provided an environment where he can do that. So yes, there's that cooperation between the two. The merit of man before God in the Christian life arises from the fact that God has freely chosen to associate man with the work of his grace. God's gift is so big that he wants us to participate in it. He wants us to cooperate in it. He doesn't just do everything for us as if we were robots. That's how much he loves us. He wants us to be involved in this process. And now this paragraph, I love this. This is from the Council of Trent and again, St. Augustine. Filial adoption in making us partakers by grace in the divine nature can bestow us true merit on us as a result of God's gratuitous justice. This is our right by grace, the full right of love, making us co-heirs with Christ and worthy of obtaining the promised inheritance of eternal life. The merits of our good works are gifts of the divine goodness. Grace has gone before us. Now we're given what is due. Our merits are God's gifts. This interplay between our work, our participation in the divine life, and even that being a gift from God. And so when we assent to that, we're in a sense, we're meriting it. But we're only meriting it because God has given it to us and because God has died on the cross to earn all of this for us. And this leads to Christian holiness. I'm almost done here, and then I'll tie this with Our Lady. So the Catechism says this. Listen to this paragraph. Spiritual progress tends toward ever more intimate union with Christ. See, you've heard me talk a lot about relationship with God, and sometimes I get some pushback, which is okay. Like I said, I always welcome feedback. But if you don't like the term relationship, fine. But how about more intimate union with Christ? How about divine intimacy? This is how the saints talk about this. Spiritual progress, and how the Catechism talks about this. Spiritual progress tends toward ever more intimate union with Christ. That's what the Christian life is about. This union is called mystical because it participates in the mystery of Christ through the sacraments, the holy mysteries, and in him in the mystery of the Holy Trinity. God calls us all to this intimate union with him, even if the special graces or extraordinary signs of this mystical life are granted only to some for the sake of manifesting the gratuitous gift given to all. In other words, to be going towards Christ. That's the goal. And that's what justification, that's what grace, that's what merit is all about. Okay, now what does this all have to do with Mary and her meriting the work of Christ, or meriting the incarnation, as the Regina Coeli says? When the Church declared the dogma of the Immaculate Conception, the Church talked about how it was still Christ, it was still the work of Christ on the cross that merited her Immaculate Conception, even though in time the cross, the death and resurrection of Christ happened after the conception of Mary. And so the Church talked about this in the term of prevenient grace. So coming ahead of it in time, but still the grace from the cross being applied to the conception of Mary. Okay, Mary didn't, in a sense, choose her conception. She couldn't have, just like we don't choose ours. But now she was immaculately conceived. And now this prepared her to then receive Jesus in her womb. So now when the angel comes to her and says, will you do this? She says, yes. So yes, she is meriting it. And no, she is not meriting it, not by her own designs, not by her own powers, but because God has created her and because God has saved her on the cross. And this allows us to say, Queen of Heaven, rejoice, alleluia, For he whom you did marry to bear, alleluia, has risen, as is said, alleluia. Pray for us to God, alleluia. Rejoice and be glad, O Virgin Mary, alleluia. For the Lord has truly risen, alleluia.